OTR. The name's Tom. EMI, I think it was. This is N0OTR. Oh, Joy, there's no audio with it that time. I did hear you the very first transmission.
Any better now?
Roger. You're about 50-50. Into the repeater, white noise, and half of it's audio, but very copyable.
Thank you, Tom. This is Foxtrot Romeo Echo Delta. Name here is Fred. Copy.
You're doing fine. Now, I don't know what you did, but it worked. You put more fire in the wire or something.
Okay, Tom. Yeah, we're gonna sign off of here, man. I'm a little bit under the weather. I've got a new radio I'm playing with. So anyway, 73 is from KI4 MRE.
MRE. Hey, that's a good call sign. MRE, like the Army guys. Well, all the military uses them now. I hope you get feeling better, friend. Nice to hear you this evening and talk to you down the line. So I'll make a call here for N4ZLK and 0TR.
For you.
We're doing the same here. Fred was awfully scratchy there at first, and then he come back the last time, and I suppose you got about the same report on it there, Shane.
Son, daughter and son-in-laws, and they're watching my other daughter's puppy while she's over in Scotland. They watched her for a few days, and now it's our turn, so I was just getting in the truck, and I heard you talking to Fred, N4ZLK.
Outstanding. What kind of puppy do you have?
Golden Retriever, and she's a little over a year now, but she still acts like a puppy. And Beth and I have an English Lab. She's about 6 years old, going on 7 now. And they get along real well, but Golden Retriever wants to play all the time. She's getting a little calmer, but you know how those young dogs are.
Those Golden Retrievers, Chad, KO4NUE, had one, and oh my, that was such a wonderful dog. And it was, I forget what to call them, you know, that the service provides. But every time I go up there, that dog would come out to meet me, and whether he was there or not, he'd come out and sit on the porch with me. And Chad said, I know what he done, and he told me exactly what that dog done. It put its one paw up on you, then the next paw would go up on you, and then he'd try to get a free lick, you know, in the face. Yellow Labs are wonderful, but I don't know what an English Lab is. I've hunted over Black Labs, duck hunting, and they're wonderful. But the Yellow Lab has such a good personality. But young pups, my neighbor's got one over there that's some kind of a doodle. And it's not his, it's his daughter's. And that thing is like a spinning top, like a fur ball when I walk in the door. And he's got claws like a... needles, you know, like young puppies have. I'm finally getting him where he settles down a little bit. I don't know if Mitch likes the way I do it or not, but I reach down and just tap him on the head with the three fingers in the middle and tell him no, down, and by golly, he minds me.
They can tell when somebody means business. Tom, an English Lab, there's a what they call an English Lab and an American Lab, or what the English Lab is is the show dog, the one you see at like the kennels or the shows on TV. They are shorter and stockier and kind of real bulky looking, blockheaded. And the American Lab is taller, lankier, the nose is longer and more pointed, and is a lot more high strung. The American Lab is They're both good for hunting and retrieving and all that, but the American Lab is just a lot more high strung. You go out with a ball with them and throw it, and they'll want you to throw the ball all day. Where our English Labs, we've had two of them, they like to retrieve, but, you know, if they're not trained, if they're just out playing in the yard, they are lazy. They'll retrieve it a couple times and then just go lay down in the yard and look at you. And, I mean, she's fun. She'll go on walks with us. You know, she'll go in the woods with me anywhere I want to go. But when we're in the house, she is down on the floor, curled up on her bed. She's just lazy as can be, which is really good because she's not high-strung in the house. And we really like that. But she's a little bit shorter and stockier than the what they call the American or the field trial labs.
I follow you on that. Yeah, I, you know, my daughter was going with a guy when she was in the college there back home in Kansas. And he had real high-end English pointers, his dad did. And they had pups one time, and they give her a pup. Well, I'd had an English pointer earlier in my life as a teenager, and that thing was nuts. He'd let it out of the car, and it'd run a mile before it even slow down, right through the covey of quail. And now once you wore it out, which took half of the day, it was all right. But up till then, that crazy thing, and it was just like dynamite, you know. It just run and run and run, no control in it. But she brought this English pointer home, Minnie, and she's still on her mantle up there in the living room. And we had her for, 14 years or so. And that was the most wonderful dog I believe I ever owned. And I told Amy she couldn't bring it in the house. I said, a bird dog's like a mule in a china shop, you know, or a bull in a china shop. And I said, you'll never be able to tame her because that other one I had, you couldn't. And, you know, she had that thing housebroken about 10 days. And she'd sneak it in at night when she'd get home from working at Kentucky Fried Chicken and housebroke it. And, boy, when she left for going up doing an internship up in Michigan one summer, I said, you're not going to take that dog with you, are you? She didn't take it. Then she come back and finished up her schooling, and she got a job in Michigan at Toyota Technical Center designing cars and that. And I just can't take it away from you. And she left it there with us. And that's the first dog Bernice ever got close to in her life. But when we moved down here, she just don't want one because she says it ties you down too much. Otherwise, I'd have one, and probably a yellow lab.
Is that okay? That's a neat story. Yeah, and even in the breeds, there's different personalities. But you're right, bird dogs generally are a little more rambunctious. Sounds like you had an extreme one there. But even this golden retriever my daughter has, she needs a lot of workout. I think even when she gets a little older, she's a little more high strung. Lots of energy, especially compared to our lab. Our Blossom is her name, and I tell you what, she's so funny. She likes nothing better than to be laying at our feet somewhere and snoring away.
This is NZGR. Well, I never did hunt many. I took her to the farm with us a lot of times, out to Bernice's sister's, my brother-in-law's, and let her run. And that dog would point anything. It didn't matter. Whenever I'd go out to the garage on the weekends and that, I had a tower right behind the garage. And that dog would lay there in that door with her head on the wooden threshold and watch that tower with that beam on it. And anytime there was any breed of bird, blackbirds, you know, starlings, blue jays, you name it. She would point that thing, and she'd be standing in the door there, and I'd look over there once in a while, and she'd just be shaking like crazy and on point. And so I got to where I'd stick a BB gun, the old Red Ryder, out the door and shoot it. And I didn't shoot the birds. But, boy, she'd run out there and go nuts looking for that bird, which wasn't there. I dearly loved her. Then she'd come back in and lay down again.
It'd be interesting the different traits those dogs have, what they're bred for, and how it just kind of is innate in them. But our first lab, we had English lab. That, now, when I was a kid, we had my family had two or three different types of dogs. We had a couple different labs, St. Bernards, not all at the same time, obviously, but through the years. But Beth and I, we didn't really, we had a stray dog that showed up. She lived with us until she passed away. We don't even know how old she was, so she was only with us for a few years, a little golden retriever, and she was just a wonderful dog, just amazing. She's a mother. She came down in front of us and wag her tail, like, you know, take care of this little thing. Then we had, but the first lab we got, the English lab, she loved to swim. The only thing that she had trouble, like, she would do anything I asked her to. I taught her to retrieve the paper. It took me one time, just go out, you know, take the paper, bring it in, give her a treat, and every day from then on, I could just say, go get the paper, and she'd run out first thing in the morning and retrieve the paper and bring it back. But the only thing that she gave us trouble with was around water. She wanted to be in that water so bad, and we had a swimming pool that she would stay out of until we told her to go swimming. If we go to the beach, it was hard to keep her out of the water. She'd just stay there all day, but we'd let her out there, and she would just jump in the pool with a ball, drop a frisbee or a ball in it, let it float around, then jump and get it, climb back out and do it all over again. She'd stay out there for hours doing that if we'd let her.
Give her a trip out the farm, she'd take off for the timber, and after she run a little bit, she'd go down to the creek or go down to the pond, either one. The pond wasn't so bad, but the creek was pure old deep mud and water, or muddy water. And she'd just go out there and just virtually sit down in it and lay down. She wouldn't lay over. You know, she'd just sit down with her paws out in front of her. And she was brown and, you know, white and tan. And, oh, that made for some real good baths afterwards. I don't think Bernice was too happy with me.
We still had Coral, that first lab, when we first moved here, but she was having back issues. Her front legs were going numb. It was really sad to see, and we don't know what happened. But so we kept her away from the pond. She really never even, I don't even know if she knew it was down there. But this one we have now, Blossom, I take her down to the pond, and she'll just look at it. And she's gone in when I've told her to, but if I don't tell her to, she just looks at it. And she'll climb up in the canoe. She'll jump in the canoe with me and go out and just sit there. Coral would have, if I'd have put her in the canoe like that, she would have tipped the canoe over trying to get into the water.
The pointers, they really love the water. I was surprised. But I always love watching those Labradors on TV retrieving ducks. A buddy had one once and got to see it in real life. But they'll sit there in the coldest weather, and you'd think they'd be freezing to death. It don't bother them a bit. And sit there until you shoot, and buddy, they were in the water, just head first.
I think what a little training will do for them like that. I know ours, it doesn't matter if there's snow and ice on the ground, they'll go down to the creek. Now, Coral or Blossom will get into the creek. You know, if we're walking through the woods, she'll run into the creek and, you know, drink and splash around. But if there can be snow and ice all in the water, you know, all over the water, and they're just right in it like it's no big deal. So, got all that insulation on them, I guess.
It's in the breed chain. I don't know what it is, but when they say dogs are man's best friend, I believe it. I don't like what I see on TV at times, the way some people treat them and all, but there was a couple come by today with a dog, and they just got it fairly recently from the pound, and they said they thought it had been beat up on. But my neighbor's dog, I've been able to approach it since he bought this new one. It's a miniature dachshund. And I can go in there, and man, it's just right in my lap. And Jim said, Milo, you don't like anybody, Tom, but you. I know it.
You can tell good people. I've run into a lot of dogs in my delivering days. Been bitten by a few of them. I've gotten some of them trained over the course of being on that route for a year or so where they wouldn't have anything to do with me, or they'd even try to attack me at the beginning, but by the end, they were friends with me, so I always looked at it as a challenge.
Casey, his dog, would always meet the Prime guy when he come up, or the UPS guy, one of them, and because they carried dog biscuits with him. Well, I throwed papers when I was 14 years old, and I found out which dogs were likable and which dogs weren't. And the worst ones of all was the Pekingese and the Chihuahua. And those Chihuahuas, their owners say, oh, she won't bite or he won't bite. And they'd bite you every dang time. So that's one breed I don't like. But Dad, he brought a dog home once. He was on the railroad, of course. And he brought one home, and I said, Dad, that looks like a pit bull. No, it's not a pit bull, son. Well, he knew darn good and well it was, but it was a pup at the time. That turned out to be one of the best dogs we ever owned. And it was real good around people and that, but boy, not around other dogs or not around other cats. But it was a great dog, it really was. But it only lasted about 10 years, and Mom called me over there one day, and he was laying in the floor convulsing, and I had to take it out to the vet and get it put down. And boy, that just tears you up.
Is that okay? Yeah, that is the hard part about it. It's a necessity, a necessary part of it, but it's a hard part. I was just thinking about all the times I've been bitten over the years, and you know, they used to say, deliver the package. And then they started saying, well, if the dog is, if you don't think you can get around the dog, you know, be careful, try to get it delivered somehow. And now they're like, if you don't want to deliver the package, if there's a dog there and you don't want to deliver it, don't deliver it. And I've seen them pull up and it'd be a little tiny, cute little dog wagging his tail come out, and they won't even get out of the vehicle. They just, I don't know, they're scared of dogs. But I would always, you know, approach them and test them out. You can get an idea really quick what they're going to do. So I had a German Shepherd come around the corner of a house one day, big old thing, and he was standing there with his ears up and just, you know, looking like he was ready to attack. And I just said, you're a good boy, or something like that. And he immediately, his tail went between his legs and his ears went down. And he just let me rub all over him. So just got to talk to him, and you can figure out pretty quickly.
My brother always thought he was a macho guy. And my older brother, and he was riding his bike, him and his wife. Every time they go by this certain area that they frequented, I think it was a pit bull. Anyways, it was a dog. And he'd come out, and they just had to crank like the dickens to get away from it. It would definitely bite, he said. So anyways, he goes down to the gun store, and he buys some Smith & Wesson mace. And so the next day, he rides by there on purpose, and the dog ran out. And Ronnie shot that dog right between the eyes with the mace. Well, unfortunately, Shane, dogs don't have tear glands, so mace has no effect on them. I guess the dog got a hold of his pants leg, but it never quite bit him. But if you're going to shoot him with something, it better have Orlean capsaicin in it or pepper spray or something like that. And then you want to use something that won't permanently hurt him. I was told that by the gun store back home, you can mix a mixture of ammonia and water, and he said they'd never attack you again. But I read up on it, and I think that could possibly damage the dog. I don't know if their eyes or their nose or what. So I never did try it, but that's what the gun shop told me.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that either. I never carried anything like that. I carried biscuits, and then there were a couple times that the dog ended up with the package in his mouth. If I knew they were coming at me, that was the first thing, if it was small enough. And the next thing was that fork, that computer that we scan packages with. But I did get, the second worst bite I had was from a little Jack Russell Terrier, and he snuck it on me. He was behind the fence barking at me, and it was a gate, jumping up and down barking. Well, I turned around, and I didn't realize the gate was not fastened. He stayed behind that gate until I turned my back and started walking away, and then he ran out and hit the back of my calf. I thought he hit with a hammer. That's what it felt like. And they made me go to the hospital and get it cleaned out. And then the first one was a lab, or the worst bite. This young girl opened the door, and there was no screen, and the lab came running through the, just ran out the door and just clamped right onto my arm, drew blood from both sides, and that made my arm go numb. It was bleeding pretty bad. I called in, but I couldn't even work the gear shift because my arm was too numb.
That is typical of dogs. They'll run up, especially the little ones, and they'll bite you right in the Achilles tendon. I was trying to copy this guy. Where are you at now, Shane?
288 coming into Pumpkin Town, about 2 miles out of Pumpkin Town, so about 10 minutes from the house.
I'm going to listen to this guy. He's up 2, supposedly. He's working somebody else. Yeah, Chad went up to see Chris today. He lives up in that area. Well, he's probably moved off of that up 2 stuff because he didn't answer me.
That's Liberty, so that's down below Easley, the other side of Easley from me. And I'm north of Pickens, actually. Probably, I don't know, 14 miles, 14, 15 miles north of Pickens.
Yeah, it's out in the boondocks. I've been up there a couple of times.
Yesterday, but isn't his call KO4QLG? Is that correct?
Correct.
153 in Powdersville yesterday, and there was a car had a ham license tag on it. It was KG4QLG. And I don't recognize that person, but when I first saw the QLG, I thought of Chris.
Hang on a second here. No joy. He's not hearing me. That's Namibia in Africa.
And 4, is that okay?
Good, and I think he is up 2, but I think there's a crowd there probably.
Probably a bunch in there that you can't even hear.
There's a mess in there. There was one on last night. Oh, goodness. I was trying to think. It's in Africa, and I tried him several times. I just, right then, I threw 1,173 watts at him, and it didn't work. So he's probably going to be pretty hard to get.
That's pretty specific, 1,173.
the tuner reads it out. Oh, I know what that was. That was Burkina Faso, I think they call it. And I think it's on the east coast of Africa down in there. I've worked it before, but must be a day expedition down there. But, oh, brother, you talk about chirps.
Coast, are you working it? Your signal going east, or is it going west to get to them?
Oh, from here, it would be going east. Yeah, it's not a long path. But, yeah, there it is, Burkina Faso. It's all along the Ivory Coast of Africa. It's kind of up above Ghana, I guess you would say. I can't remember all. There's a bunch of them there from Senegal on down to Nigeria.
Africa, and I recognize names, but most of them I can't place. I know where Egypt is.
The same with all of us. That one, he's on now. He's a 3 Delta, and he's a Eswatini, and that it used to be Swaziland. They renamed it, and it's just barely up from the southern tip of Africa on the east side of Africa. This one here, Namibia, oh, right offhand, I don't see it on the map. It's at the southern tip of Africa, right above South Africa. He's at Victor 55, Lima Alpha.
Pretty big country. I wonder what the ratio of ham radio operators to those countries would be. Probably nothing like the U.S. I may be wrong, but it'd be interesting.
Practically nothing. That wasn't me. I thought he was calling me for a minute there. I think it was Dave P4SV was saying they went to a country over there one time. He says, "You did not leave the compound. You stayed within the armed guards in the compound."
Have no idea how a good bit of the rest of the world lives, do we?
I seen that in the South Pacific, and it's back then anyways, it was pretty pitiful. And people, they just don't realize what they got here. But I know one of our friends on the radio here is going to the Dominican Republic here this next week. I kind of worry about him because there's a developing system down there in the Caribbean right now. And they're supposed to develop this weekend, and I think that's pretty certain that's when he's headed down there. And, I think one other place, I don't know if it was the Bahamas or what, he said on here one time. But the Dominican Republic, my neighbor is an ex-Army guy, and he said they were down there 2 or 3 months ago. He says, you don't leave the area, you know, where the tourists are at, because all around that area and the hotel and that was armed guards.
Where's that LK? I'd heard that about some, I mean, I couldn't remember where, and that might have been it, but I'd heard that about some of those places in the Caribbean.
Which one? I have no desire. He's going on a cruise. And I just seen all the ocean I ever want to see. I mean, it's beautiful. I like to see USA. No, I don't have any desire to do that. Our kids go every year someplace. Scotland, you name it. They go all over the place. They went to Central America. TI, what am I trying to say? Which all the tourists go to all the time, or Costa Rica. and they went down there to the rainforest and that. That was interesting, I'll give them that. But you just never know in a foreign country what you're going to come up against.
True. I mean, my oldest daughter is in England, Scotland. I guess, I think they're going to Scotland tomorrow. And, you just kind of worry about them. I mean, we didn't go to Scotland, but we went to England. Beth and I did. Didn't think a thing of it, but when it's your kids going, even though they are adults, and Connor and Gabrielle, they're going to Costa Rica in February. It's going to be like not really a vacation. It's a seminar type thing, but also a group of people and doing some sightseeing and things like that. And, of course, I'm already worried about them. I know they'll be fine, but, you can't help but worry them.
A safe location as you could go to, as long as they follow the rules. But I seen some bad things happen even in the Philippines when I was stationed there. If you don't know the culture, you can really offend somebody. And there were some guys that crossed that line, I guess. And it was, if you went into town back then, it was very poor. I mean, they didn't even have restrooms in the bars and stuff. There was just a room back there and a hole in the floor, and that was about it. The only time I went off base when my brother made me one time, I just didn't have any desire for that. Now, we did rent a special services car one time and went to Bataan and Corregidor and went to the national cemeteries, and we went to Tagaytay, to the volcano, and the people were wonderful, and the cemeteries were as awesome as it was at Arlington.
Sounds like it was a good time and a terrible time at the same time. I'm glad you got to experience that. I've never experienced anything like that. Anyway, Tom, I'm pulling in the driveway, or just about. Got two more turns, and I'll be there. So I'll make this my last one. Hope you get that station you're trying to reach there, if they're still on. And enjoyed it as always. Always love talking to you and swapping stories. You and Bernice have a good evening. And we'll catch you this weekend sometime. N0TR, N4ZLK.
Okay, Shane. Been a pleasure. Yeah, I can get him in a minute here. I'm not worried about it. But, overseas, the only time I left the base at night was one time my brother was making fun of me for not going into town at night with the boys and getting the bars and that. And I went one time, and bars are just not my thing. I'm sorry. Unless it's to go play pool in one of them fancy ones up there in Michigan or something. I enjoy that. But as far as drinking, no, I got my cup of tea. Anyway, Shane, take care. N4ZLK, N0GR73.
Hi, N4ZLK.